idea later this week.
Stunning surprises, cunning disguises, hundreds of actors out of sight.
Pantaloons and tunics, courtesans and eunuchs.
Good morning, everybody. It is Saturday, September 16th, and you're listening to Backstage here on FM 97.3 WZBG. I'm Eric, your host. Happy to be with you here this morning on, it's a little overcast, but hopefully that'll clear up. We'll find out a little bit later during the weather. Before we get to the show this morning, I do want to mention that we've got some excitement coming up. You can have a chance to get out, do some shopping, and help a great group of volunteers at the same time. Plus, you'll get a chance to say hi to WZBG's own Dale Jones. He's hitting the road Saturday, the 23rd of September, broadcasting live from the New Hartford Lions Club's annual Giant Flea Market. It's going to be from 8 to 3, rain or shine, at New Hartford's Brody Park. It's going to be a $3 admission. Early birds can pay $10 to get in starting at 6:30 a.m. There's great food, there's shopping, all kinds of stuff you can find. Antiques, crafts, tools, jewelry, art, clothing, and of course so much more. And all proceeds will benefit the New Hartford Lions Club. They give it all back to the community. So make sure you check that out. That's going to be next weekend, September 23rd, over at Brody Park there in New Hartford. So that's exciting. But perhaps even more exciting is the show that I've got in store for you today. I am joined by two guests from TheatreWorks New Milford who are here to talk all about their upcoming play called Scotland Road, which... looking at the synopsis, if you will, for this show, I'm very intrigued. So I'm thrilled this morning to be joined by the director, Miss Jocelyn Beard, and one of the performers from the production, Mr. Adam Battlestein. So good morning to both of you.
Good morning, Eric.
Good morning, Eric.
Great to have you both here. Jocelyn, it's nice to see you again. You've been here a few times now with me at the helm here on Backstage. And Adam, who's joining us live via phone, this is your first time on Backstage, so welcome.
Thank you.
So before we get into Scotland Road, Adam, since you're a new guest, why don't you tell us a little bit about your involvement with the performing arts and how you got into this whole situation you've got going on here?
Sure. I studied acting as an undergraduate and got my degree in theater and English literature. And then I went on to be a professional dancer and worked with a company called Palabolas for about 20 years. And I'm still involved in choreography, and I have my own touring company that travels around the U.S. and Europe and Asia.
Wow, so you're a guy kind of in demand.
Sometimes.
And so how did you end up joining up with TheatreWorks for this production?
Well, I've worked with Jocelyn Beard many times in the past. She's directed me in plays. She's collaborated. She's a very accomplished playwright, and so we've had an ongoing collaboration for years. And I found myself with some time. I went in to audition.
Well, there you go. And thus, Scotland Road is coming to TheatreWorks New Milford, and opening. Let me check my notes here. Opening on September 29th. Now that's a change. Originally, it was scheduled, I think, for the 22nd.
For the 22nd, yeah, but we
had to push
back.
It off.
Yep.
It happens.
Yep.
So it's opening on the 29th of September and running through October 14th. And, of course, there's the special senior night that they do at TheatreWorks on the 28th. And you've got a pay what you will night, I believe, right?
Pay what you want, yep.
Mm-hmm. So a nice long run here for Scotland Road. So, Jocelyn, as director, I will leave it to you to give us a sense of what this play is going to be all about.
Wow. stuff. Scotland Road is by American playwright Jeffrey Hatcher, who is probably best known for writing The Complete Female Stage Beauty, which went on to become a film that he also wrote the screenplay for called Complete Beauty.
Mm-hmm.
This show is very special. It is a lot of things. It's a mystery. It's a ghost story. It's a psychological, puzzle piece.
Mm-hmm.
And it is inhabited by four characters who are utterly fascinating in their development, as none of them really seem to be who they purport to be.
Interesting.
It begins with the discovery of a young woman by on an iceberg near Iceland by a Norwegian fishing trawler. And when they rescue her from the iceberg, she is dressed in turn-of-the-century garb, and she says one word, Titanic.
Oh.
And it turns into a cat-and-mouse kind of thing. This very wealthy American who is obsessed with all things Titanic, at great cost, has this woman, she's brought to Iceland to a hospital in Reykjavik, and at great cost he has the doctor from Iceland, who is an American, bring this woman to the United States, to a very remote place on the coast of Maine, where he seems determined to break her story and to reveal her as a fraud. But it turns into so much more than that.
Interesting. So it's almost like she's presenting as someone who would have been a passenger from something that happened 100 years ago. And so now we're... Oh, so it becomes a mystery to figure out you know, why she's lying, how she's lying.
How'd she get on that iceberg?
She would have to be lying if she were...
Would she?
One would think.
I told you it was a ghost story.
So, interesting. So then, Adam, how do you factor? Are you the doctor? Are you the wealthy American mystery hunter?
I am the wealthy American fraud debunker.
Okay.
Obsessed with the Titanic.
Not a bad character to kind of play, wealthy American fraud hunter. Sure, why not, right?
Right. It seems so.
Now, did you take any, because I'm gonna throw a name out there that people probably recognize, because Titanic has fascinated people ever since the disaster took place. James Cameron, the famous filmmaker, has become one of the more renowned individuals in terms of Titanic conversation. Did you take any inspiration from him or from, I'm blanking on the name of the person that discovered the wreck. Did you look to them for any inspiration, or were you just looking at the script and coming up with something based on that?
I'll field that one.
Okay.
This play was written in 1993, just shortly after the discovery of the Titanic. And I have spent a lot of time contemplating what that was like, since they weren't looking for the Titanic. They were looking for the Thresher.
Right.
And just happened upon this huge thing on the bottom of the sea. And saw the bow, you know, and saw Titanic on the bow. And what a moment that must have been for any human being. And because of the nature of this play, spent a lot of time of thinking about it as it sits. And right now there's a lot of controversy about an organization that wants to go and plumb, like take everything from the Titanic and bring it up. And I'm of the opinion that everything should be left there. And all of these things, all of these, thinking about it in these terms, really play into the spirit of the play, what should be left. And Adam?
Yes. I mean, the thing that's... one interesting thing is my character, John Jacob Astor, named for his great-grandfather. He's with you, Jocelyn, that Titanic is a tomb, and it has a sacred memory, and it should not be disturbed. And he's very upset about any kind of sacrilege around the Titanic. He believes it's a sacred memory and should be preserved as is, and he's very adamant about that.
And I know that debate was recently reignited with the unfortunate submarine disaster that took place. The the people that were going down to see the wreck and the submarine unfortunately failed, and the people passed away. And it brought up comparisons to the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, which Canada declared a cemetery, a sacred ground that people couldn't access anymore. So it's very timely, I think, that Theater Works is coming up with, well, not coming up with, but choosing to do this piece now.
Well, I proposed this play over a year ago. Anything that's happened within the year subsequently is
purely coincidence.
Yes, for me. I feel so horrible for those people.
Of course.
On Ocean Gate. But there is something about Titanic that people want to go and see it.
Sure.
You know? And I have claustrophobia, so I'll never be on one of those submersibles. But I couldn't imagine, I think seeing something like that would be the most terrifying, you know, life-changing kind of, I mean, to actually see it. I don't think I could, you know, it's one thing to go and look at pyramids because you're outside and they're so glorious, but when you're over 2 miles down in the ocean and everything is black,
you kind of have to go to extraordinary lengths to do that as compared to seeing the pyramids or going to ruins in Rome or what have you. Now, I mentioned that Titanic has kind of been a fascination for a lot of people over the years. Adam, have you been someone that's had at least a mild interest in the Titanic throughout your life, or has it just sort of come about through this production? Adam, are you there?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that was for me. yes, not really. I've not been had a great interest in the Titanic. It's one of those huge things that just I never delved into it until recently. And I find the pictures of the people that were on board and the whole zeitgeist of that time really fascinating. All the stories, and I can empathize with the character who's fascinated by, you know, Philadelphia millionaires playing bridge in the smoking lounge until the very end, people standing on the promenade deck all dressed in their full evening wear with this sort of romantic idea that they were fully aware of what was going to happen and they were waiting with great aplomb and behaving as gentlemen and gentle women waiting for the ship to go down and accepting their fate. I don't know if that's accurate, but that is a romanticized vision that my character subscribes to in the play for sure.
And does that romanticized notion that you talk about, does that help drive some of the conflict that you encounter with other characters?
Yes, it drives some of the conflict, and there are things driving John, the character. He's obsessed. He's driven to prove this woman is a fraud. And that's one fascinating thing about the play. Everybody in the play is misrepresented in some way, or they are misrepresenting themselves. And the play itself misrepresents what it is. So when you're coming into the play, you're given the idea that it's one kind of psychological thriller or mystery, and it turns out to be a different kind of psychological thriller and mystery. And I think that Hatcher did an amazing job of just filling this thing with metaphor so that the more you think about it, the richer it becomes. The whole play is like an iceberg. You only see the tip of it. You don't understand the subterranean depths of what's really going on. Neither do some of the characters. My character, his motivation, what's driving him, is one of the mysteries that is brought into relief by the play. And it's fascinating, a fascinating challenge as an actor to have this thing just under the surface of your conscious and not know what it is. You know, so that's part of what's going on in the plays. John's true motivations are revealed not just to the audience, but to himself as the play goes on and develops.
Fascinating stuff. It sounds really interesting. It's Scotland Road. It's a play opening at TheatreWorks New Milford on September 29th, running through October 14th. You can go to theaterworks.us to buy your tickets or find out more information. And of course, I'm talking this morning with Adam Battlestein and Jocelyn Beard from this production. And we've been going a while, so why don't we take a quick pause? And now, I know, Adam, we've only got you till about 9:30, so I'm not gonna spend too much time with music here in this first half hour, but I do want to give us a quick break here. I'm going to play something from the original Broadway cast recording of the musical Titanic, which this is not what Scotland Road is, but I figured it was rather thematically apropos. So here from the original cast recording is, which part is, this is part of the opening sequence of numbers. This is called the launching, Godspeed Titanic. That was the launching, a.k.a. Godspeed Titanic, here on Backstage on WZBG. And this morning we're talking with director Jocelyn Beard and cast member Adam Battlestein, from the TheatreWorks New Milford production of Scotland Road, a mystery, a psychological thriller that references the Titanic. It's kind of an anchor point, if you will, for the show.
Oh.
No pun intended. Yeah. There you go. Craig Clavette, if you're listening, that one was for you. So, Jocelyn, we were talking off the air, and you said that this is one of the more complicated scripts you've ever worked with. Do you want to kind of expound on that for a little bit?
Yes. Going back to what Adam said, as he said, the play itself is disingenuous because it isn't the play that you think you're seeing, mm-hmm. which is awesome because when the true story that you're seeing is revealed, it's like, wow. yes, because none of the characters are presenting honestly,
mm-hmm.
With the possible exception of one, it makes it so interesting to work with actors to make sure that they're not giving stuff away, but they're being true to what they're, you know, keeping in.
Mm-hmm.
And if anything, when I sit and watch it, I mean, we're just running it now. It's mm-hmm. fabulous. The way the play is put together, it's a short play. It's only 46 pages, but it has a much longer running time. Huge monologues, mostly Adam's. But the scenes are very, very short, which is a great device for the audience because you get a whole lot of information and then suddenly you're on to the next scene. And So I think most people will like be always one step behind in putting everything together until you get to, you know, the penultimate part of the play, mm-hmm. and you start seeing everything, all the, you know, all the locks just clicking in, and then when you realize what you're seeing, it's gasp-worthy.
Mm. One would hope, anyway.
Yeah, no, it truly is.
Adam, as an actor, what's that challenge like to understand that you have to present one way while simultaneously keeping a true understanding in your back pocket, which you want to inform your performance but not telegraph anything? Can you talk about that a little bit?
It's a great challenge. It reminds me a little bit of therapy. You know, like you go to see a therapist often to figure out what your true motivations are, mm-hmm. and that's what happens to John in this play. And it is a challenge. I have to know the whole play and the whole arc of the character, but living inside the character means feeling things and not understanding why exactly, and maybe even trying to hide those feelings, or he's hiding things from the other characters, and more importantly, he's hiding things from himself. Now we do this all the time in real life, so the challenge is to get yourself to a place where you can do that inside someone else's skin, and it's a very difficult and fascinating challenge, and I have really enjoyed it more and more. First it was just like, I don't know if I can do this, but it's really developed nicely, and I'm really excited about where the play has gotten to now.
And now this is a play with a very tight cast. It's what,
yes.
four performers. So Adam, have you worked with any of these performers before, or are they new to you?
I have worked with all of them before.
Oh, really?
And I have to say that it's a dream team for me. Even suggested one of the characters who hadn't been cast yet once I was on board, and I'm really excited that everybody who ended up being in the play was kind of in my mind as a dream team. So I'm excited to be working with some really talented performers.
Jocelyn, you want to take
out? Can we shout them out?
Sure, yeah.
First of all, they are a dream team. I've never worked with a cast like this before. It's amazing. The Mysterious Woman is played by Heather Hanneman, mm-hmm. of Wingdale, New York. John, the Mysterious Millionaire, is played by Adam. Miss Kittle, the oldest living survivor of the Titanic, is played by the absolutely luminous Noelle Desiato. Mm-hmm. And Dr. I'm thinking of another gothic thing. Dr. Halbrecht is played by the very, very, very remarkable young actress Erin Shaughnessy.
Oh, okay. Erin is familiar to me. Mm-hmm. She's done shows in the area before. The other names I'm not as familiar with, but... I know
Noelle,
theater works draws great talent, so.
Noelle Desiato is the real deal. I think Adam would agree with me. She's like, it's like working with Helen Mirren or something like that. She's like, yeah. She's amazing.
It does make an actor's job much easier when you have people working across from you that are giving you a lot. Mm-hmm. Then acting becomes reacting. And that is just, that's fantastic, so. I'm really happy about that and relieved.
Yeah,
I would think with a cast that small and with a play structured in the way you're describing, it would be imperative to have people that can really mesh well in terms of what they bring in their performances. But, I mean, TheatreWorks has been drawing such great talent for so long. I imagine you probably had a few options you could have gone with if you had chosen to. Yes, you had multiple people auditioning and things like that.
There are always options. Yes.
You know, it's a blessing and a curse, because it's great to get the strong performers in, but then there's also great people that you're going to have to unfortunately say no to. Mm-hmm. And but you know, there's plenty of theaters out there and always projects going on. So if you didn't make a certain cast, there's other shows. Try another show. You know, don't let it discourage you, because we're always looking for more people in community theater. And you're drawing some people from as far away as New York. That's amazing.
I'm from New York. Yeah,
that's true. I forgot. I'll be all right.
Yeah. No. We get people coming from pretty remarkable distances to our auditions, and that's nice. Mm. But then, of course, as a director, you're like, are they going to really make every rehearsal?
Yeah.
You know, especially in bad weather. But we don't have that now.
No, I mean, other than the rain we've had this summer, it's been it's been pretty good. So we're coming up on 9:30. Adam, I know we have to let you go, but I do want to say thank you so much for calling in this morning to talk about this. It was great to get a chance to talk to you, and break a leg with the run. Wish you nothing but success.
It's been my pleasure, Eric. Thank you so much, and come out and see the play. It will deceive you, surprise you, and mm-hmm. delight you.
There you go. Great words from Adam Battlestein, one of the performers in Scotland Road. Adam, again, thank you so much. Look at this, 9:30. So it's time for us to take a quick pause, and then we'll come back and we will talk about the buzz.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. 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 What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening.
All right, let's talk about the buzz, shall we? So first up, we have performances. Goshen Players have announced their production of All Is Calm, an a cappella musical about the Christmas Eve truce of 1914. That's going to be running November 25th through December 10th. You can check out goshenplayers.org for tickets and info. Landmark Community Theater has announced their production of The Rocky Horror Show. That's going to be running October 6th through October 28th. They also just announced their cast on their social media platforms, so check that out. You can go to landmarkcommunitytheater.org for information or tickets. Phoenix Stage Company is going to be putting on a production of The Memory Box. That'll be running October 13th through October 22nd. You should go to phoenixstagecompany.org to find out more or to get tickets. Speaking of Phoenix Stage Company, don't forget this weekend is their big tag sale happening today and tomorrow. I think it runs from 9 to 3, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. over at the TheaterWorks facility in scenic Oakville, Connecticut. TheaterWorks New Milford, of course, is running their production of Scotland Road. We're talking all about that this morning. It's going to be happening September 29th through October 14th. Check out theaterworks.us for tickets and information. And the Warner Theater has announced their upcoming annual International Playwrights Festival. That's going to be running two nights, October 13th and 14th, different performances each night. You can buy a ticket to one night or both nights, whatever you prefer. Go to warnertheater.org for more on that. Landmark Community Theater, auditions. We're switching to auditions. Landmark Community Theater's announced auditions for Nuncrackers. That's going to be running September 18th and 20th from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Thomaston Opera House. No appointment necessary. Go to landmarkcommunitytheater.org for more on that. And the Phoenix Stage Company is having auditions for their Farndale Avenue Christmas Carol. Those will be September 25th and 26th from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Phoenix Stage Company facility in Oakville. Go to phoenixstagecompany.org for more. And that's the buzz for this morning. We're going to pause for a quick word, and then we will be back with more here on Backstage on WZBG.
December 1st. That's when a fun and elegant specially edited premiere of Divine Renovation the series, hosted by TV icon Eric Estrada, filmed right here in the Litchfield County area, takes place at the Warner Theater in Torrington. Watch your neighbors and local businesses on the big screen helping others, showing that people in this community really care. Tickets at warnertheater.org. Eric will be there. Will you?
Hi, this is Eric Estrada. We're going to see you December the 1st at the Warner Theater. Be there.
And we're back here on Backstage on WZBG. nice words from Eric Estrada coming to the Warner Theater. That ought to be exciting. Speaking of excitement, don't forget next weekend, September 23rd, is the New Hartford Lions Club's annual giant flea market at Brody Park in New Hartford. Open rain or shine from 8 to 3 with an early bird session starting at 6:30 a.m. And our own Dale Jones will be broadcasting live. So make sure you check that out. But here on Backstage this morning, we've got plenty of excitement of our own. We had Adam Battlestein on earlier. Unfortunately, he couldn't stay with us the whole hour. Busy man, very busy guy. But we still have director Jocelyn Beard here with us this morning. I keep saying we and us like I'm some kind of member of the royal family. Maybe I need to get that checked. But we're here talking about Scotland Road, which is coming to TheatreWorks New Milford, opening on September 29th and running through October 14th. And it sounds like it's going to be a really fascinating piece. Now, Jocelyn, I wanted to ask you, the way the show is constructed with such a small cast, is it sort of like a, I don't want to say a locked room mystery, but are we always in one spot? Or
yes.
Do we move around?
Yes.
Or?
Leif Smith, who's designed a brilliant set for us, it happens in, the entire play happens in one white room.
Oh.
And the only thing in the room is a deck, is a Titanic deck chair. That's it.
Interesting.
And the set itself is, the design was very brilliant. It's designed to heighten the sense of claustrophobia of these people being, you know, right in each other's faces all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it's very, to say a white room is atmospheric sounds you know, counterintuitive, but it is very atmospheric.
Oh, I would imagine so. I'm imagining using the lighting,
mm-hmm,
to really impact the perception of the space and,
yeah,
and to enhance the emotional moments. Am I way off on that?
Not at all. It's almost a surreal setting. You know, it's just below that line. If he'd gone, like, you know, a couple of inches more this way and a couple of inches more that way, I'd say it's a surreal set.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just below that, which the whole, I was just telling my husband on the way over here, like, I sit and watch this play and I get the same feeling as it goes along, even though I know how it ends. I get the sensation of, remember that really bad movie Earthquake when they brought the big speakers into the front so that you would feel everything rumbling? I feel that internally as this play goes along, just because it's so, every scene is fraught with something.
Sure.
You know, there are no down moments, there are no calm moments.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you can say so many things about this play, but the thing that stands out is this man's obsession and his drive and his need to prove this woman is not what she said she is. But she's never said she's anything. All she said was Titanic. She didn't say, I was on the Titanic.
Right.
It's just assumed that that is what her claim is, because after she says Titanic, she stops speaking altogether.
Oh.
And Dr. Halbrecht works with patients who have had a traumatic, you know, something, and have, you know, retreated into themselves and stopped speaking. And
mm-hmm.
she works helping getting people to speak about their traumas. But that isn't necessarily what's happening at all. Nothing is what it seems. And, you know, directing something like that is so tricky. You have to have such a light touch, because
sure.
you don't want to steamroll the audience with, look at, over here, this is a red herring. Let me spell that out for you. R-E-D. They're in there, but they're so subtle that you could miss them if you're dozing or not paying attention.
So then am I wrong in assuming that, and please forgive me because we went through the names of the people in the cast, but it's early in the school year, so I've got all kinds of names rattling around in my head
sure.
at the moment. The actress that's portraying the woman that was found...
Heather Hanneman,
thank mm-hmm. you. So is a lot of her performance at the beginning wordless?
Yes, and it's brilliant because she does more. I mean, when she does start to speak, she's wonderful. But in the first half of the play, she has to do a lot of heavy-duty acting without saying anything.
Mm.
And she really, really, really has nailed it. And it's... each one of them gives me chills at different points in the play.
Mm-hmm.
And the good thing about it is that this play is appropriate for, you know, all ages, because I think younger people would be delighted by the mysterious aspect of it coupled with the Titanic tie-in, and people who love to see great performances will be seeing four truly great performances up on the new Milford, you know, on the Theatre Works New Milford stage.
Mm. And it's a great stage because it's got that, it's not quite in the round, but it's got that sort of thrust to it, so you can kind of get a slightly different perspective because you're more on the side of it a little bit in some spots.
Right.
So I imagine that must be challenging when you're thinking about the staging, knowing that audience members are going to have sight lines that they wouldn't have in most spaces.
I move all around the theater when I direct. I'm like the Black Fortress. I keep moving around. Anybody who gets that reference, you're my friend. When you have a play which many scenes is two people talking to one another,
mm-hmm.
and having them do the community theater
cheat out
is kind of, you know, so we've had to be a lot more creative in how we get these conversations happening without having it be how you and I are talking right
sure.
now. Sure. Anybody sitting over there is just looking at the back of you, and
so it's like they've seen me on stage before. But then you've also made it more of a challenge for yourself because you said the only thing in the set is the one chair.
Mm-hmm.
So you didn't even give yourself like, oh, well, let the character go over to the desk and do some business there, or let the character go over to the table and do some business over there. Like making yourself, your life more difficult?
Well, the nice thing about this very small claustrophobic space is that I think the natural response of anybody in a situation like that is to move.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the more still you stay, the more the walls start to press in.
Mm.
So I went to NYU film school, and the first thing we learned was keep the camera moving. I keep the camera moving always when I direct. And with people like Adam, it's really easy because he's, he knows.
Well, with his deep background in dance and whatnot.
Yeah. Even though it's a very, you know, I'd be lying if I said it's anything but an incredibly wordy piece, you know, so is something like Knives Out.
Mm.
You know, I'm not comparing them, but the dialogue is just essential, and it moves the story. There isn't, you know, when you go through scripts, sometimes you get to a whole thing and you're like, how does this advance the story? Everything in this script advances the story.
Mm.
And because the scenes are so short, it's like bam, 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 bam. And it's very striking. Everything about it is striking. I read it years ago and have always wanted to direct it. So this is kind of, you know, a bucket list. My bucket is getting progressively more empty, but this one I've always wanted to do, and I know I've said it, but this cast just is like a chef's kiss to to that desire. Yeah.
Well, even if you feel like the bucket's getting empty, the good news is there's always new pieces being created.
Yes.
And thus the bucket will start to refill as you encounter more things, or as you create more things. I know you write in your limited spare time, but it just sounds so fascinating,
the whole
combination of things. It's Scotland Road, which is coming to Theatre Works New Milford, opening on the 29th of September, running through October 14th. You can check out theaterworks.us to find out more. And we're going to pause for a song, give ourselves a little break. We'll come back with the weather after that. But in the meantime, again, music from the musical Titanic, because play centers on a potential Titanic conspiracy or controversy or what have you.
Oh, it's more than potential.
So here from the original Broadway cast recording of Titanic the musical is a song that speaks, I think, a little bit to that romanticized version of things that Adam had mentioned, that it was this time that people behaved in a certain way and whatnot. This is a song called What a Remarkable Age This Is.
My dear Mr. Latimer, prepare to greet our clientele. Our meeting is imminent. Having just rung the dinner bell, it won't be a novelty. We mostly have seen them all before. Prepare for the usual. You should be aware of what's in store. We've served them on the Baltic and the Oceanic, Olympic and Majestic, and today's the same. There's nothing changed. Mr. Astor takes his toast dry. Mrs. Strauss likes the grouse with the sauce on the side. And the Widners love kidney pie. Bring it hot. If it's not, they'll be fit to be tied. They're accustomed to the best of all that money buys. The world of free enterprise has given this privilege to the rich. When they're idle, they're entitled to the luxury which we provide. That's forever the source of our pride, which is why we're always there with our special form of care for every hungry millionaire. By now they've all arrived.
Sailing aboard the greatest ship that ever sailed the seas, the Holland, the keel impervious, is stronger by degrees.
Magnificent crystal chandeliers, quartet in all the floors.
The ceiling is Jacobean, our decor, the world adores. Remarkable stage, remarkable stage, remarkable stage. If it could be put in a phrase, it's not a remarkable age this.
Invented see-through film, he calls it cellophane.
Another has built a parachute for jumping out of an airplane. Remarkable things flow endlessly from off the human brain. Indeed, it's what a remarkable age this is.
Keep the captain's table pristine. Here we seat the elite whom we happily serve. Here they dine on fine French cuisine. It's the creme de la creme's exclusive preserve. It's the pleasure of the leisure class's greatest wits to be where the captain sits when taking their dinner on the sea. Giving deference to their preferences is our chief art. We play our part in a perfectly working machine. You should ever be aware this is a privilege greater than rare, a special burden that we bear in our respective lives.
Remarkable U.S. Steel is splitting chairs at 5 to 4. Monopoly makes the industry far better than before.
Telling the coronation
up,
he
chose
the
mythos grand. And afterwards up to Monaco to frolic in the sand.
Remarkable time, remarkable time, remarkable world. So much to surprise and amaze. And what a remarkable time, what a remarkable world, what a remarkable age.
That was What a Remarkable Age This Is from the original Broadway cast recording of Titanic the Musical here on Backstage on WZBG, and it is 9:47, so we're going to talk about the weather, and Jocelyn gets to read the weather forecast.
I'm so excited. Well, Eric, today is partly to mostly sunny, quite breezy and cool, so get those sweaters out. There will be a high of 65 to 70, so be prepared to tie the sweaters around your waist. Tonight will be clear, brisk, and cool with a low in the 40s to 50. Sunday will be mostly sunny, delightful, high to low to mid 70s. Sunday night, increasing clouds, low in the 60s. Monday will be a period of rain high in the 60s.
And it's currently right around 60 degrees at our WZBG studios in Litchfield. And it's been a weird weather week. I mean, we had that brutal heat earlier in the week. And
the
then
lightning.
The lightning, yeah. and the storms and everything. My lawn this year has been out of control because I'm only able to cut it every so often, and it just grows like mad. And then all of a sudden it cooled off and we had cold nights. And I guess that's New England for you, though,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Don't like the weather, wait 10 minutes.
Right.
But, you know, today ought to be okay, a little cooler, which is fine. I love the fall. And then tomorrow should be nice. And I know that we're in fair season. We've got fairs going on all over the place. And so hopefully, you know, hopefully people are able to get out and check them out and have some fun. I know the Eastern States Exposition just opened.
I love that.
Or the Big E, if you prefer.
The Big E.
I'm actually going to go up and visit the Big E for the first time in a few years.
Wow.
So I'm looking forward to that. But in the meantime, there's always theater.
Always.
And we're talking this morning about Scotland Road, which is at TheatreWorks New Milford, opening on the 29th of September and running through October 14th. And it's going to be exciting, I think, just from everything that's been said about it, what I've read about it. And I love a good, small cast, thriller, mystery kind of piece where, you know, there's a lot of real acting. Not that there's not real acting in other pieces, but, you know, where performers are really having to dive into things and give it their all. And so I'm very excited by this whole prospect. I wanted to talk about costuming a show like this because you have the mysterious woman, Heather Hanneman.
Heather Hanneman, yeah.
The mysterious woman who's found wearing clothing reminiscent of the era of the Titanic. So does that costume come in, or by the time we, the audience, meet her, is she already in like a hospital scrub set or a gown set? Or
yes, when we first meet her, she is in, the script calls for a hospital gown.
Mm-hmm.
But as a director, I didn't think that was appropriate. I don't think that she would have been put in that. I think she would have been put in a nicer thing than a hospital gown. So yeah, mm-hmm. She is in a gown, bathrobe kind of thing, but her outfit does come into it. Yes.
And is it hard at this point, because I mean, we're talking about more than a century having passed since the Titanic sank, is it hard to find pieces that are apropos of that era?
Well, because I'm crafty, I cast a young woman, Heather Hanneman, whose mother, Sue Hanneman, is probably the best costumer in our area. With all apologies to the other costumers who think they're the best costumers, and I'm sure they are, but Heather's mom, Susan, is really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that she has gone to planning to go to Thomaston and the Warner to see if they have anything mm-hmm. appropriate, but I've watched this woman build, you know, stuff from the ground up that's, like, amazing.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the audience out there listening might not appreciate that it's not just, you know, I'll pick on the Warner because I know that they have their costume shop, and their costume shop is, it's like a whole warehouse
right.
full of material that they've collected over the years. But costumers don't just pull things out of an already existing inventory. So, you know, they occasionally will literally manufacture
mm-hmm.
something, you know, using old patterns from something published years ago
right.
and whatnot, and custom build it for performers and for shows. And their skill often goes, you know, if you're not thinking about the costumes while you watch something, then they've probably done their job because it just seems so natural and
right.
it seems to fit.
Sue costumed a young Frankenstein for me
mm-hmm.
and had to build quite a few things for the ensemble, and everything was flawless.
Mm.
I mean, theater costumes are great. When you're in the audience, they look, you know, fab. When you're up close, you're like, oh my God, is that duct tape? but no, Sue is a consummate professional, and I'm sure that the woman's, especially since it's her daughter going up there,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure that costume is the last one I need to worry about.
And as far as the rest of it, since it was written in 1993, you said? So
yeah.
Everything else is fairly modern and...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. I mean, yeah, doctor in a lab coat,
mm-hmm.
Stethoscope, clipboard, John the elusive, obsessed millionaire, very tweety.
Mm-hmm.
But Miss Kittle, the last living survivor of the Titanic, who's sort of like a mobile Miss Havisham. She's in an older kind of more, you know, she's got a Victorian high neck collar. And, but she's in a wheelchair under a blanket, so you just sort of get a sense for it. She's got a hat with a veil and black gloves and a black skirt. But you, and not era boots, but boots that suggest that era. After she was rescued and taken, from the Carpathia to Halifax, she returned to her family's home in Maine and hasn't left. She's just been a shut-in. But there's a reason for that.
Of course. Yeah. There's a reason for everything.
But she does come out to meet this young woman.
Now, I'm not going to put myself on your level because I've done my directing with high schoolers, and that's it's directing, but it's a very different kind of directing.
Yeah.
Are you playing at all with a color palette? Because I know you said that the set is this big white room. So are you trying to inject other things here to just break it up or even to reflect character?
Yes. Well,
I know you can't give everything away.
Can't give everything away, but the answer to that, the answer to that is yes. The deck chair itself is in very high contrast to the whiteness of the set. It's
of
a
course.
Very stark looking thing. And then the people, things do come on and come off the stage, bringing some, you know, texture, color, and filling that space with even more stuff that leaves even less room, you know, for the actors. Of course, Miss Kittle is all in black, which against a white set is, yeah. And Winifred's, the dress she's found in, is described in the script as being blue.
Okay.
And yeah, so yeah, the answer is yes. And lighting helps too.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
And we're getting kind of closer, but I do want to also ask you, with musicals, the sound design is usually like, all right, get to the song, and then the song is is whatever. With plays, the sound design can be a little more complicated because do you go with an underscoring or not? Do you need, you know, ambient noises that come in and out? What's the sound design been like for this?
The sound design is written, which I'm sticking with.
Okay.
Is a major sound effect at the beginning and the same major effect at the end of the play.
And I appreciate that, you know, and I've fallen into the trap before of not paying enough attention with my high schoolers to sound design and things like that. So I appreciate when scripts give you that sort of
it's very specific.
A touchstone. And
I mean, I thought, oh, should I try and get music in between these scenes? But it's like, why slow it down?
Right. And depending on the nature of the play as well, that might work against what you're trying to accomplish.
Right.
It might make it sort of melodramatic if you're and you're not going for that.
No.
Again, it's one of those things that the audience won't pick up on if it's done correctly.
Right.
Just it seems very natural and just makes total sense. And sometimes, now that I'm thinking, this is a totally random thought, but sometimes you ever have that feeling you wish your life were like a movie where there was a soundtrack?
I'd love to have a soundtrack for my life. Yes, and I'd like to be able to pick all the artists and make a Spotify playlist.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. I have one thing I can promise any potential audience member about this play is you will not see this end coming.
Okay.
And I love stuff like that because I'm like, when I went to see Sixth Sense in the first 5 minutes, I'm like, kid can only talk to dead people. Oh, Bruce Willis must be dead.
Yeah.
You know, you will not see this coming. When I first read it, I was like, oh.
And there you go.
Yeah.
So we're pretty much up against it. So I want to say, Jocelyn, thank you so much for coming in to talk about it.
Thank you for having me again.
Of course, anytime. It's Scotland Road. It's at TheatreWorks New Milford, opening on September 29th, running through October 14th. You can go to theaterworks.us for tickets and info. Also, don't forget, next weekend, Saturday the 23rd, the New Hartford Lions Club's annual Giant Flea Market. Our own Dale Jones will be there. The flea market runs from 8 to 3 with an early bird session starting at 6:30 a.m., all kinds of stuff. And everything benefits the New Hartford Lions Club, and they bring it all back to the community. So if you get a chance, check that out. I'm going to leave you with one more snippet from a song from Titanic. This is going to be We'll Meet Tomorrow. We will meet again next week. Have a great week, everybody.
You're listening to FM 97.3 WZBG, Litchfield, Torrington.